Okay, thank you for inviting me. It's a very painful subject to talk about. To see the darkest predictions that I had made actually materialize. I'm going to talk today about expectations. What can we expect? And obviously, this is partly speculation. We can only predict the future, even the near future, with a degree of probability. No certainty is possible, except that it's going to be dire. I mean, this is certain. I'm going to discuss the aims of this war as far as Israel is concerned. It's only Israel who is the agent in this war. It obviously has the total initiative. It's going to be a long war. As far as Israel is concerned, the Israeli leaders have made it clear that they aim for the war to be long in order to achieve their goals, which I'm going to discuss in a moment. But there is also a personal interest of both the political leadership, primarily Netanyahu, and the military top brass in a long war to delay the reckoning. Both have been exposed before Israeli public opinion. They are very unpopular in Israel in view of the fact that they failed to prevent something that was actually predicted by their own on the ground observers. The Hamas is preparing an attack. They had plenty of warning by the mainly female soldiers who are in positions of viewing constantly what is happening across the fence in Gaza. They noticed for a long time the preparations. They reported, but they were dismissed because the military and intelligence leadership of Israel didn't believe that Hamas is actually serious and that it is capable of doing what it turned out, I mean, technically capable of doing what it ended up doing. So it's both, and of course, this is a failure of the Israeli military top brass. And as far as Netanyahu is concerned, it is common knowledge that he actually fostered Hamas for several years, for quite a long time, in order to divide the Palestinian leadership and in order to prevent even talk of the two-state so-called solution, which, of course, it was only talk because it, as I kept insisting on several occasions, it is a mere illusion. I think people in the know realize that it is not going to happen. But he wanted to prevent even talk about it on the part of the American administration. So in order to prevent the whole idea of a two-state solution even being mentioned, he fostered Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So both the military and the political leadership are keen to delay as far as possible the day of reckoning when investigation will be set in motion, and they know that they are going to be condemned. So they want to delay it. It is improbable that investigation, proper commission of investigation will be set up during the war. So it's in their interest. But this is only on top of the real war aims, which imply that the war should actually last quite a long time. So what are these aims? As far as the internal Israeli public opinion is concerned, the aim, as it were, is simply satisfaction of the lust for revenge. Israel has been humiliated. The atrocities, which are bad enough in reality, were bad enough in reality of the 7th of October, but are magnified even more by propaganda, as these things happen in every war. A big section of the Israeli Jewish public opinion is simply calling for braying for revenge. Gaza has to be eradicated. The whole of Gaza. Everybody in Gaza is responsible for this. There are no innocent people there. They should get what they deserve as far as this. But this is for internal consumption. For international consumption, the aim of the war is declared, and this is repeated by the mainstream media here in Britain and elsewhere in the international community led by the United States, that the aim of the war is to eradicate and annihilate Hamas. This declared aim has several advantages. First of all, it is plausible, at least for people who don't look too carefully into it, how far is it at all feasible. But it sounds acceptable. Hamas is declared as a terrorist organization by Israel's allies. And so the aim of the war as an aim of eradicating and annihilating Hamas is acceptable by these standards of Israel's allies. And this is why in the mainstream media, including the BBC, this war is entitled the Israel-Hamas War, as if it is a war really between these two parties, Israel and Hamas. If you look at the media that are not in the mainstream, for example, in Al Jazeera, the war is defined more widely, more correctly, as the war against Gaza, or a war between Israel and the Palestinians. And a special advantage of this alleged war aim is that it is open-ended. If you try to look into it, how can you tell when Hamas has been destroyed or annihilated completely? After all, it is not just a military setup. In fact, Hamas is a whole setup. It is it has one big part of it, which is a civilian government of the Gaza Strip. It is a movement. It is an ideology. It also has the Al-Qassam brigades, which are its military wing, you can beat a military organization, at least for a while, but it is questionable whether you can eradicate a movement, an ideology, which, after all, is not only in the Gaza Strip. I mean, there's plenty of supporters of Hamas in the West Bank and around the world in various places. So this at least, you know, it is, at the very least, it will require a very long war to achieve this alleged aim. But very quickly, if not immediately, on the 7th of October, the Israeli leadership, which is the government that was then in place, reinforced by Benny Gantz, who is leader of the main opposition party, so it's now a sort of national unity government, jumped on the opportunity for what became, in my view, the real aim of the war. And it is very important to realize that the real aim that Israel is trying to achieve is not simply to eradicate Hamas, certainly not just revenge, although that will gratify a lot of public opinion in Israel, and not to save their own skin in view of the impending investigation. It is ethnic cleansing. As you may recall, I've been predicting that things escalating in the oppression, repression of Palestinians in the occupied territories, which includes, of course, Gaza, the resistance, the repression that is escalating in the response to resistance, the increased resistance, and so on, this is pointing towards a culmination of explosion in the form of ethnic cleansing. This was predictable as a long aim of Zionism, to complete the Zionist project of a Jewish state in the whole of Palestine, from the river to the Mediterranean Sea, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. This is, after all, the long-term aim of the Zionist project, a Jewish state, which means that it should have a stable and secure Jewish majority. And this, of course, implies in the actual data that ethnic cleansing is required too. But obviously, as I kept mentioning in previous talks and articles, ethnic cleansing can only happen in opportune moments, in a context which internationally allows Israel to perpetrate this crime. And the opportunity presented itself in a time and place which nobody could predict, namely in Gaza in October 2023. I did not expect it. I don't think anybody else expected that ethnic cleansing would start at this time and in this place, but here it is. And look, it is impossible to deny that what is actually taking place is ethnic cleansing. If you watch the reports, even in the BBC, what is happening there is actual ethnic cleansing in operation. It is this process that you are watching. Fighting Hamas doesn't involve carpet bombing of huge parts of inhabited areas. It doesn't involve pushing a million people from the north of Gaza to the south of Gaza, alleging that they would be safe there or promising that they would be safe there, and then they are bombed in the south of Gaza. They are then told to move from one place to another, destitute, without food, without a drinkable supply of water, without medicine, without a supply of clothes, destitute to zero possibility of conducting any kind of life. So what is this if not ethnic cleansing? But ethnic cleansing requires not just the pushing of people to the border. The question is, push them where? Well, you consider this. It is not actually necessary to transport the people squeezed in destitution in the south part of the Gaza Strip by providing them transport outside. The way this happens in reality is that you create conditions when the people simply flee, they run for their lives. They have no choice either to die of hunger and destitution and of diseases that are beginning to spread their epidemics, or to save their lives, they just flee. And this is what I predict is going to happen. If Israel is allowed, and I don't think there is sufficient pressure from the United States, which would be able to prevent this if it wanted, to stop this happening. At one point, the people squeezed in this impossible density, under these impossible, unimaginably hard conditions for and in danger for life itself to actually break out. And you will see that Palestinians will not wait to be transported out of Gaza. They will rush out. This is actually what happened in 1947-49 in the Nakba. On certain occasions, there were places where the Palestinians that fell under Israeli rule were transported by Israel across the border. But for the most part, they just faced conditions which made them want to flee. So this then later justified felt by Israel to justify its claim that we didn't do it. They fled by themselves. Of course, Israel created the conditions in that war during the Nakba, and it is creating the conditions now for the 2 million and a quarter Palestinians to want to go up, get out. And of course, once they leave the Gaza Strip, they will never be allowed to return. That is the ratchet principle of Israeli expansion and ethnic cleansing. It is a ratchet principle. You don't go back as far as possible, unless you are compelled to, and nobody is going to do this as far as is visible now. So Israel will is creating the conditions where Palestinians in the Gaza Strip will want to get out. Some of them will try to get into Egypt, and the Egyptian regime will be faced with a dilemma. Shoot them, prevent them from getting into the Sinai Desert, or allow them. You see, the Gaza Strip is literally squeezed between the devil and the deep blue sea. Literally, if you look at the map, there's only one land exit that is feasible for this population, that is towards the Sinai Desert. Will Egypt allow them? Will it prevent them by force? Will it massacre those that will try to break into the Sinai Desert? Either way, it will be fine by Israel. If the Egyptians want to massacre the Palestinians, Israel is not going to prevent it. If the Egyptians are forced into accepting hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Palestinian refugees in Sinai, that's okay with Israel. They will, in either case, Israel has gotten rid of them. Okay, what lies beyond? I think it is becoming clear that in the longer term, Israel would be happy and willing and aiming to recolonize Gaza, resettle it with its own settlers. Forget about the two-state illusion, which the Americans keep putting as their preferred ultimate outcome of the war. This is not going to happen. It is once the Gaza Strip has been vacated or almost totally vacated, it can be reoccupied by Israel. And in addition to the gaining territory of the promised land, there are certain advantages economically from getting from incorporating the Gaza area into Greater Israel. There is good land. It is an ideal place for tourism. It has a fantastic seashore. And on top of this, there are considerable deposits of natural gas in the sea just adjacent to the Gaza Strip. So Israel has many reasons for wanting to incorporate Gaza in the land of Israel, apart from that being part of the ultimate aim of Zionism. Okay, so this is what I predict. Of course, nothing is certain, but I predict this is the probable outcome of the present war as far as Gaza is concerned. At the same time, of course, although Israel may or may not overcome Hamas militarily, it is not going to put an end by this to so-called and real terrorism against the Israeli Zionist regime. What is certain is that this kind of operation will create greater and greater resistance, some people will be cowed into submission and inaction. But you can be sure that there will be enough people incensed by what is happening in order in a way that will lead them to various forms of resistance, including terroristic activities. That is predictable. It was predicted in 1967, and it will happen now. As a result, I mean, it is almost certain to increase resistance in other places. So it will not end with Gaza. Escalation of resistance and oppression in the West Bank is predictable. The next phase of ethnic cleansing will sooner or later occur in the West Bank if Israel is not stopped by outside forces. I want to end by making a speculative prediction as far as Israel itself is concerned, is the internal developments within Israel. I think it is very probable that internal Israeli conflicts will intensify. Normally, in most cases, war, national war, presented as a war in the national interest, has an effect of unifying people, papering over contradictions and conflicts that had existed before the war. But in this case, this is unlikely. While the war is actually being waged, internal Israeli public opinion is deeply divided. It's deeply divided not so much by opposition to the war versus support of the war, but divided by blaming the leadership, the existing leadership, for the huge failure of the leadership to prevent the war, by causing, by allowing this traumatic event to take place. The previous division of Israeli society, of Jewish Israeli society, that took place in the period leading, in the 40 or so weeks leading to this war, preceding this war, will definitely reemerge in this or that form. Essentially, this will present a contradiction, a conflict between two camps in Israeli Jewish society. What is going to happen is, on the one hand, an increase in the appetite of the messianic annexationist wing of the Jewish Israeli society versus the modern secular business section of the Israeli bourgeoisie. There will be moves by the Messianic Zionists to annex the West Bank to Israel, pending its own ethnic cleansing. In terms of the regime that this will create, can be presented paradoxically, if you like, as annexation of Israel to the West Bank. That is to say, the extreme apartheid regime that now prevails in the West Bank will be extended in one form or another to pre-67 Israel. This will actually be inimical to the interests of the secular bourgeoisie, whose business is essential for making Israel a modern capitalist country, a developed country. Israel is among the developed capitalist countries in the world. Extension of a theocratic authoritarian regime from the West Bank to Israel itself will not be in the interest of this section of the Israeli bourgeoisie, whose activity is essential for making Israel what it is, a successful capitalist modern country. How this internal contradiction will be resolved is, of course, a matter for conjecture. I cannot predict it, but trouble is ahead. I think this contradiction will be very difficult to paper over. So when this war ends, and it will take a long time for it to end, or even before this, internal conflict within Israeli society is certain to emerge. And as I said, how it will be resolved is anybody's guess. I think that is all I have to say.